Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
So We Can Work It Out by the Beatles. You know, we're hoping for some optimism, like This Too Shall Pass vibes, I think is what we need today.
But do you believe it? Can we work it out? Or
it's,
they?
Oh, I think it's possible. It is not guaranteed. But yes, yeah, it's possible. I mean, the thing about there's a cascading effect to a losing streak. If you separate the games individually, if you like, you know, shout out Kurt Vonnegut, get unstuck in time and just look at the things, you know, out of order. Last night was like the most predictable, least distressing of the four losses. Like, guess what? Houston's a lot better and their matchup stuff and whatever. Like, if you don't point to like a game you should have won out of the four, that's the last one on the list.
Right.
And it was also the one that had the least drama around it. And so, you know, progress to that degree, it was a normal game with a normal outcome. And that may be depressing that that's a normal outcome, but right now it is for the players who were on the floor for those two teams last night.
You were in the locker room afterwards. Read his piece over the Daily Memphian. You wrote about what Ja had to say, but how did that all feel?
It felt okay. It felt like a team that had lost four in a row and was struggling to find rhythm and find effectiveness and sort of what you would typically expect to hear and feel in that situation. It didn't feel like a situation loaded with extra drama like the previous games had been.
Right.
Again, it felt like a normal situation in a bad situation, a normally bad situation.
Right. Okay. Part of the normal badness is bad starts.
Yes.
And the bad starts aren't because they don't have backup point guard or whatever else. The bad starts are their best players are out there playing with bad starts, although Jaren comes off very quickly.
I was about to say, they start subbing in four minutes in. So the bad first quarter is not just a starting lineup problem, but it is a starting lineup problem.
Within 4 minutes, they're always down. Any hope is sucked out of you.
That's right.
Isolo did talk in pregame about the decision not yet to start or not to start, not to move Cedric Coward into the starting lineup. What did he say? What did you make of what he said?
That may have been postgame. I don't remember. He took that question. Okay. He said, yes, that's something we've thought about. He talked about how you don't necessarily want all of your best creators in the same lineup because you want them throughout the game, which I think is totally rational. I've talked about that. It's one of the reasons you're seeing the Ja Jaren play less minutes together because you don't have sufficient lineups without both of them, and so that's kind of a math problem. And he talked about how Coward played more minutes than played the most minutes of the wings last night. He played the most minutes of the wings the night before. He's averaging the most minutes of the wings on the season, so he's already number one on the pecking order in terms of playing time over the course of a game. I think Isolo is broadly right about that stuff in terms of balancing talent throughout the game and in terms of total minutes being more important than starting. I think all that's true. But I think the starting lineup, it doesn't necessarily have to be a Coward. It could be some other change. The Coward's the change that makes the most sense because that's the one that can be permanent. Like, right? You could say, we need more juice in the starting lineup. We're going to start Santi Aldama instead of Jock Landale. Well, Edie's going to come back. You're going to change that again. If you move Coward in the starting lineup, like, you may be done for the next 10 years.
By the way, who are you moving him for?
What's that?
Who's he replacing?
I would say KCP right now. Let me back up just a little bit. You have this issue where, John Jaren, your two best players, and you're surrounding them with like subpar athletes, all three. Jalen Wells, KCP, Jock Landale are all subpar athletes, and you can feel it, man.
Right.
These guys can't catch and finish shots.
Compared to last night, what you're going up against, yes. Holy smokes.
Well, the last two nights, because Detroit's a real big athletic team, and you could really feel it in both of those games. So you're at a real disadvantage athletically, starting lineup versus starting lineup against most other teams with those three guys in your starting lineup. It's compounded by Wells and KCP just can't make open shots right now. They were making open shots in the preseason. I think I've said this repeatedly. I think people overrated the Wells shooting a little bit as a rookie. 35% is nothing special, but it's still 35%. It's not 20% or whatever.
Right.
KCP, a career, he had down shooting the year last year from three, but a career high 30s. If those guys were making open shots at a reasonable clip, I think things would look a lot better. But when they're just missing and missing over and over and over again, on top of the lack of athleticism that is inherent and that is not going to change, it's a huge drag. And I do think they need to shake up the starting lineup to give them more pop. And again, there are different ways you can do that. The one that does make the most sense is putting Coward in, because like I said, you can put him in and like, okay, now that's a change that's going to last for 15 years. Like that, right. That's that kind of thing, right? So I think that probably does make the most sense. But it's not as glaring and simple as I think people want it to. Some people want it to be, because people are mad for good reasons. So you want to like have a locus and focus of that anger, and like not starting Cedric Coward's an easy thing to light your, you know, pitchfork about.
Here's the truth. It's also an easy, people, even to the extent you can say maybe people are looking for solutions, and it's an easy solution that you could. I mean, it's not a solution. It's not a solution. Like
solution strong.
Okay.
It's an easy move towards
you could
do better outcomes.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, we were talking about the big things you can do. The big things are to, trade Ja, fire Isolo, Zach Kleiman. Cannot and will not do any of those. So we're going
to. Those would be almost like Luka got traded. What level things if they happen like right now? Yeah.
Right. So they're not I don't rule out that.
Those are all macro questions for the franchise.
Two of those three things, there's some chance that they could happen this year. But not now. They're not happening now.
That's right.
So we're looking for things we can do. And one of those things would be to start Cedric Coward.
No, if you get, and again, this is not going to, these things alone are not going to magically transform the team in a substantial way, but they will change the team, I think, in a positive way. If you look up a week from now and like Zach Edey and Cedric Coward are in that lineup, that's certainly a lot more athleticism, a lot more size, a lot more physicality and force around John Morant and Jaren Jackson, and the game will look different in that situation.
People might appreciate Zach Edey, too, in a way that they didn't last year. If he comes back,
I think so.
And all of a sudden it looks different. Back to the shooting real quick, though. Do you just think it's like, well, that's happens. People miss shots, people make shots, hit or miss, whatever. Or do you believe that it's a function of either the offense or the people they're playing with, or they're in their head? Like, what do you think?
I think the in your head thing can become real. I think a slump that's just like slumps happen can have a snowball effect over time if the slump, you know, starts to bother you.
Right.
So I think in your head is a real thing for shooters. But I think, you know, it's not, there are functional problems with the offense and all of that, and we can talk about, but like these guys are missing just open shots.
Right.
They just are. And these are players who have been good shooters, are supposed to be good shooters, who are missing open shots. And because of that, that impacts the spacing you could otherwise have. Again, the lack of athleticism is an inherent problem that won't go away. But if those guys were making a better degree of open shots, suddenly would function a little bit better. This is a thing.
Look at the juice that Cam Spencer gives you when he comes in and makes shots.
This is a thing, and I noted this maybe yesterday. I've noted this before. This is a consistent pattern for the Grizzlies this season. Yes, they get off to slow starts, and over the flow of the game, Isolo does adjust in the flow of the game to the flow of the game, and he has consistently adjusted to stuff that has worked better in the second halves of games. And it's been Cedric Coward. It's been, in some games, it's Omax Prosper. It's been Vince Williams. Right. It's been Cam Spencer. It's when he shakes up that sort of stale, stagnant formulation to stuff that fits the flow of the game, the team performs better, which is all the more reason to think this time to shake up the stagnant starting lineup. You know, and try to get better stuff going early.
Vince looked good, by the way.
I think Vince is, it's four games in a row. He is a guy. One of the reasons I like players like this. I like players whose worth is not dependent on whether the 3-point shots go in or not. Right. So we've seen you know, we've seen guys in the starting lineup who are not making three-point shots, and they're not otherwise helping you that much if they're not making three-point shots. Vince will can handle the ball. He can pass the ball. He will get steals. He'll get blocks. He'll get rebounds. He'll get in your face. He'll get inside your jersey and play defense, and he'll go chin to chin with you and like be a little crazy. But like there's activity there. He gives juice.
Well, and Cedric Howard didn't hit shots last night either. Sort of typical.
Nine rebounds, four assists, two steals. That's a wing player coming off the bench. He's playing hard and making stuff happen even when the shots aren't going in. And I have a bias towards those guys. The guys who are like, people say, oh, that guy can't shoot. I'm like, yeah, but he does everything else. And I'll put up with the bad shooting if you're doing everything else. And I like those kind of guys.
Okay, the Jaren, it is. I mean, there's the jaw problem, but Jaren is also a problem in a different way. He gets one shot last night.
Yeah, that's something that's just got to get fixed. And there was something hyper-specific to the game last night. I wrote about this. Islo talked about it without me asking about it, which it was already in my notes. I asked Jared about it, and they said similar things. We're all seeing the same thing. There was a thing that happened in the first half of that game that was very similar to the Oklahoma City series where they guarded Jaren with the smallest guy, right? And you're like, mismatch. Go to the post. But the guy who's guarding him is super, super strong and is a really good post defender, even though he's 6'4", and Josh Okogie. And what happens in that situation, you can see it happening. It's like, Jaren's got a small guy on him. We have to post him up on the low post. Well, Jaren thinks, I think rightly so, if I'm too aggressive to getting post position, they're going to call me for an offensive foul because that's what they do to me, and they do that to him.
Right.
And so there's a limit to how aggressive he's going to be about getting position. And then because the smaller guy is guarding Jaren, there's all these bigger guys
monsters
disrupting passing lanes.
Right. Yeah.
And the timing has to be just right on the entry pass. And so if you don't hit the entry pass at the exact right time, now Jaren's got to sort of repost a little bit. Now he's more likely to get the offensive foul. And it gums everything up, and you don't get anything out of it. And so I think that was a problem last night, like it was in OKC when they put Alex Caruso on Jaren. But the solution to that is, like, get him different kinds of touches. It doesn't have to be, he's got the 6'4 guy on him. We have to post him up. You actually don't. Like, run more pick and roll with John Jaren. You had a problem with spacing. It's easy to say, give him the ball and spread the floor and let him go one-on-one. That's harder to do, with Jaws' point, right? Let Jaren be the spacer. Some people would get annoyed about that. Why is Jaren standing in the corner? Well, he might get more shots that way sometimes, like just as kick out, and he's shooting like 40% from three. Like, let him get some of those. So I think there was a real problem there in terms of execution. But to me, you have to adjust away from that to find other ways to get him the ball. And I would be critical of Isolo and the coaching staff of not being more aggressive to adjust away to get him other kind of touches. They got to put more emphasis on that.
Do you sense, you don't sense great fire and enthusiasm in the group, but that just may be the weight of losing? Is it evidence that they don't believe in Isolo?
Isolo had a great answer on this. It's a question I was going to ask, and Mike Wallace got the mic, the one person before me, and he asked a question. I just looked at the media person and said, that's okay. Mike got me on this. And he asked Isolo about maintaining confidence amid losing. And Isolo had a great answer, and that's kind of the issue. Isolo has great answers. There are people who are so mad about Isolo, they think the answers aren't good. The answers are great. But that doesn't matter if you're not putting it into practice and you don't have the guys.
The answers from the lectern are great. Finding the answers are different.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
And so, he said, great teams have great chemistry, but do they have great chemistry because they're winning, or do they win because they have great chemistry? And he said it's hard to build that when you're losing. Because when you're losing, everyone feels a bit out of shape, and you need to win in order to help build the chemistry. He was sort of suggesting that the winning does come first to some degree, like this chicken or the egg a little bit. And so I think a real problem they're having right now, and I sort of wrote about this in reference to Ja after the Monday night game. I think I'd line something like, Ja seems to have problems summoning belief, but he's the player who you need to instill belief in other people. He's the point guard. He's the leader. And if he's not believing in it, it's hard to build that belief elsewhere. And that's a real problem for the whole thing apparatus right now. And this is obviously a test of Isolo. Can you get the first job of a head coach in the NBA is not X's and O's. It's not higher level strategy. It's can you get the players to buy into whatever you're trying to do? That's the number one thing. And that's a very big glaring question right now.
It's sort of tenuous. We don't know that they're not buying in, but it doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, I continue to say it's too early for an ultimate judgment, but it's not too early to wonder about stuff.
It does feel like Dallas is an opportunity. It's the next one.
It is. Dallas, you know, they 2-6. They just lost to New Orleans, proving that someone can. And Anthony Davis, I think he's like in a day-to-day thing, yeah, so I'm not sure if he's going to play or not.
It'd be nice if he would miss it.
Right. Derek Lively is out. He won't play. That team is not good, but that team is not like that team is not the Brooklyn Nets, despite their record. Like, there's real talent out there, right? Like, you can easily lose to Dallas at home. But it should be an interesting one. It's certainly a more favorable game from a schedule standpoint than the games before and after it. And also, you got, you know, the first big battle of the Rookie of the Year race with Cooper Flagg and Cedric Howard. That's a good one. That'd be a good game to push Coward in the starting lineup and just have those guys going
Coward
at it.
Push Coward in the starting lineup.
If you want a little bit of juice and interest, like, that's the game to do it.
Are they the Edgecombe? Is Edgecombe the leader? Like, who's the leader in the clubhouse? Oh, Edgecombe. Right? The leader.
If the season ended today, Edgecombe would be Rookie of the Year. And Cooper Flagg on, like, name recognition would be second, and Coward would probably be third.
Yeah. I mean, Charlotte's got three starting at this, but with...
I don't know. Knepel started some and come off the bench some, but he's been their best rookie. But Kalkbrenner is starting and been solid. Dylan Harper, he's hurt now, but
he was really good.
He's been good off the bench. Yeah. No, it's a good-looking rookie class.
Have you, by the way, I'm going to confess something. I went and read about the lottery players the other day.
Well, I mean,
have you been? I mean,
no, yeah.
I haven't started watching yet, but
you know, I've read all kinds of stuff. I've listened to stuff. That is going to be a component of the season, even if the Grizzlies are good, because they have that pick that's not connected to them. So that's always going to be a part of this season.
Right. There's three this year who are supposedly head and shoulders.
The consensus right now is that when you talk about tiers of prospects, that last year Cooper Flagg was the only, like, you know, sort of top tier guy, right?
Yep.
And that this year, that the three guys currently projected at the top of this draft are all top tier guys. Now, that they're not necessarily as good of a prospect as Cooper Flagg was, but we're talking about, like,
probably levels of
prospects. Yeah, right. They are considered the same kind of guy. Like, all three of the guys projected at the top of this draft would have been, people think, would have gone second in last year's draft. Yeah.
I think that's right. Let's see. Around the league, Lakers beat Spurs. Luka, another 35-point night. Jalen Duren, 22-22 for the Pistons. As you point out, the Pelicans got a win. Knicks beat the Timberwolves. What's happening with the Timberwolves? Keep an eye on that.
Did Anthony Edwards come back last night? He's supposed to come back soon. I was busy with the Grizzlies, so I have not looked at the box scores from last night. Edwards has been out, and he was about to come back. I think he may have come back last night. I'm not sure. But that's a team, you know, that team's got talent, but the back half of the roster, those are two teams where the back half of the roster is shaky. There are a few teams like that. Lakers are like that. But they have a real hole at point guard, you know, with Conley's like 39 and just is sort of turning the corner.
And Walker Kessler out for the year.
Out for the year, which is a bummer for Walker Kessler, but for the Jazz want one of those guys, one of those three guys at the top of that draft. Right.
The problem is, of course, it doesn't really. There are some really bad teams this year. I mean, in the league. Maybe there are every year. Brooklyn's horrible.
Brooklyn on paper is extra special bad.
Brooklyn is extra special.
Yeah.
And the Wizards are bad.
The Wizards, I feel like, should be slightly better than they've been so far, but they're going to be bad. Indiana should have been a lot better, but then they already had some injuries, and then the season starts, so they just get whammy.
Right.
With T.J. McConnell and Obi Toppin and Benedict Mathurin and all this. And once you take out, like, six of their top eight guys from last year, now it's a whole different thing.
So those three are really bad. And Dallas is bad.
Well, the Pelicans are
bad. And the Pelicans are bad.
Yeah, I don't know if Dallas. I don't know. I don't know that Dallas is as bad as their record.
The Pelicans are bad. The Jazz are bad.
Yes.
So we're up to five.
Well, the problem was we haven't mentioned Phoenix, and we need Phoenix to be one of those teams. And they're just a little bit better than that.
They're better than that.
Yeah.
And so in this race to the bottom, you've got, but we do see. Like, you got five that are going to be hard to beat, right there, that we've mentioned that are going to be hard to beat. And so there you go. I'm already looking down. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. You can read his piece on last night's effort, such as it was, at the Daily Memphian. We're going to play Right and Right Trivia next, Jeffrey. That'll lift people's spirits. What are we giving away?
Jeff, we got two pairs of tickets to see Stavros Halkias tonight. It's at Graceland Live. Again, I can't guarantee that it's four
it's
together.
Two pairs
but it
of
is
tickets that may or may not
correct.
Be together.
But you will at least have two and two.
All right. Kevin Cerrito will be with us for this extravaganza. 445-0929, 445-0929. We can guarantee that two are together of the four, and so we'll take caller number two. 445-0929 if you want to try to be righter than right, or by God, just play honorably. We'll do that when we return. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Kevin Cerrito. Kevin, of course, is our fun and games. And my God, do we need some fun and games around here with all the grim news that has been dropping. Kevin, you're just in time.
Oh, great. Yeah, perfect. Well, we'll be back in Mississippi this weekend. I'll be hanging out with Gabe and Connor at the Caesar Sportsbook inside Horseshoe Casino Tunica this Saturday. It's once a month. We're heading down there to play some free trivia as we watch the games on the big screen, of course, at the sportsbook. You can gamble. You can eat. We'll be giving away free food and free play at the casino there at Horseshoe Casino. That's from noon to 3 this Saturday. And I'll be hanging out more in Mississippi on Monday because we're adding a new Monday spot. We ended our run at Cafe Eclectic as they changed their hours. So now we are now going to be in Olive Branches. We're adding our fifth Huey's location to our list of places to play. So we'll be at the Olive Branch Huey's on Monday night starting this coming Monday. It is free to play. It's the newest Huey's location there in Olive Branch. And it is also now the newest place you can play music bingo. That's every Monday at 7, free to play. You can see the whole list of places to play at CerritoEntertainment.com.
Do we have a competitor, Jeffrey?
Jeff, we do indeed. Let's welcome Nick in Germantown to the program.
Nick! Glad to have you, Nick. I'm turning things over to Kevin Cerrito. May the best man win.
All right, this is Righter Than Right Trivia. Job's trying to get more right than Jeffrey. Of course, you just got to play honorably in order to walk away with the prize. I'm going to give you the choice of two categories. Whichever one you don't choose automatically will go to Jeffrey. He can steal from you one time and vice versa as we go through the game. And if you're ready, I'm ready. Jeffrey, let's fire up the intro. All right, let's get started. Let's get started with your choices today. Around the world or around the U.S.?
Let's go around the world.
Around the world. The most recent Nobel Prize winner was from what country? So the winner of the Nobel Peace Prize recently was awarded to a woman from what country?
I have no clue. I'm going to say Germany.
That is not correct. Jeffrey, you have been without Twitter, so you claim to be without.
Yeah, how's this going to impact your performance,
okay,
Jeffrey?
I do think I remember this. I'm going to steal Venezuela.
Venezuela is correct. Yeah. Jeffrey stealing here with a news question.
Wow. What did she do?
This was just one of those headlines that is like Venezuela, because I think she's the first, correct?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, it's not, more of not, who won and who didn't win type of story.
Yeah.
All right, so Jeffrey takes the lead. What is it?
Around the U.S., Jeffrey, what type of onion is the official state vegetable of Georgia?
Oh, wow.
I know this one. I want to every time when the rare question comes around that I know the answer to, I like to raise my hand and just point out to you people that I know the answer to this one. Nick, do you know?
I think I have an idea.
Is the question the color? Or say one more time.
Sure, I can repeat this. We could have a steal coming up. What type of onion is the official state vegetable of Georgia?
I mean, I'm going to guess the only thing that's coming to mind. Vidalia.
That is correct. We have Vidalia onions. That's
Vidalia's a town in Georgia.
Oh, yeah?
Valdosta.
What?
Is Vidalia?
No, there's Vidalia. Vidalia. Isn't Vidalia a town in Georgia? Look, I believe it is. I was still Googling the... I was Googling Venezuela. Maria.
No, you are. It's named after the town, yes.
Maria Corina Machado for her struggle to achieve a peaceful democratic transition in the country. And you are correct, Kevin, the first and only Venezuelan to have won the Nobel
Jeffrey said that.
Peace Prize.
No, Jeffrey's got to get extra points there. Yeah.
So there you go. Anyway, the score is 2-0. Back to Nick.
All right, back to Nick. Your categories, we have physics or chemistry.
Oh, God.
Let's go chemistry.
Chemistry. What furry little creature shares its name with the standard unit of substance in chemistry? So what furry little creature shares its name with the standard unit of substance in chemistry?
Oh.
Gizmo.
Oh, that's what a wonderful guess, but that is incorrect. Jeffrey has already stolen Calkins.
But I bet he knows this too.
No, I'm blanking. So you can take it.
I don't think I know it. I was going to say a newt.
Mole. We're for mole. Mole is a standard unit substance in chemistry.
A mole. Charles, if he's listening to this, is just rolling his eyes. He would be rolling over in his grave if he were dead. But he's not, and the score is 2-0. Over to Jeffrey.
Physics, Jeffrey. In physics, Boyle's law applies to what state of matter?
I'm just going to guess the only thing that comes to mind. Inertia?
That is not what we're looking for. We do have a steal out there. Do you want to steal or you want to save this? You know your physics. In physics, Boyle's law applies to what state of matter?
I'll take a shot at it. Is it gas?
It is gas, and you get a point.
2-1. This could be one of these sneaky ones, Jeffrey. You let your guard down.
Yeah.
You let your guard down. All of a sudden,
did you hear me gloating yet?
Yeah.
Watch out.
All right. We've got TV or internet here.
Is it mine?
Yes. You get to pick every time.
Let's go TV.
TV. The writer, producer, and director of what HBO show that was based on the works of Michael Crichton described the show as, quote, the next chapter of the human story in which we stop being protagonists.
Can you repeat that?
Sure. The writer, director, and producer of what HBO show that is based on the works of Michael Crichton described the show as the next chapter of the human story in which we stop being protagonists.
No idea. No guess.
No HBO shows come to mind. Jeffrey, would you have a guess on this one? You cannot steal.
I'm pretty sure it's Westworld.
It is Westworld, yes, where we stop.
Yeah, I believe you picked the right one.
Unbelievable. It's still only 2-1, though. Still
That's
only
what I'm
two
saying.
Still close.
Internet's so...
Yep.
Well, let's see. What name does Microsoft use for their search engine, Jeffrey?
I don't know if...
Microsoft, search engine.
I know. I have two things that are coming to mind, but you've gotten me a couple of times with... All right. Copilot is their AI. I'm going to say Bing.
Bing is correct. Bing, bing.
3-1. 3-1. Gets a little cushion. Little cushion.
Right, that was nerve-wracking.
Do we have one more? I think we have one more round of regulation.
Yes, one more. We got movies or music here.
Let's go music.
All right. Percy Sledge brought the song When a Man Loves a Woman to number one in 1966. What long-haired singer brought it to number one again in 1991?
Sounds like we're
do another cover of this one here. It's been about the same time frame.
Rod Stewart?
That is incorrect. I know Calkins knows this one.
Come on.
I don't know it.
Shout out Miss Lucy. She loved Michael Bolton. my mom's.
Michael Bolden is correct. Yeah.
The only thing I know is Vidalia. I'm just sticking on. I'm sticking with Vidalia onions till I die. So it's still 2-3.
It's 3-1.
Yes, the correct answer there was Michael Bolton, long-haired singer there, 1991. All right, movies. What character, Jeffrey, from the Shrek franchise has two of their own spinoffs?
Puss in Boots.
Is that correct? And we're down to the final round. Jeffrey now.
I think it's out of reach. Is it out of reach? It's 4-1. Jeffrey, how many are you wagering? Jeffrey's wagering one. Nick is wagering the one that he has. Onward we go.
No, he could get his right. He could tie.
He could tie, but a tie is not a win.
Correct. But
we're ending with the final category. In honor of Veterans Day, we have World War II questions here. Veterans Day is next week. You want question A or B?
I've chosen wrong every time, so I'm going to go A.
Question A. Four U.S. Marines planting a flag in the ground is an iconic image associated with what World War II battle?
Iwo Jima.
That is correct.
And he's got two.
A lot of pressure here.
A lot of pressure here. He could steal and tie you, in which case it would be a moral victory at the very least.
Yeah, it would. It absolutely would be. Jeffrey, who did FDR refer to as Uncle Joe during World War II?
The only thing that comes to mind, it's got to be Stalin. So Stalin, final answer.
You don't think it could have been Joe Biden?
Do not.
Nick's got a good point. Yeah. Got a good point. Could have been Joe Biden.
All right. Joseph Stalin is correct. Yes, Jeffrey wins this
Jeffrey
game.
Wins. 5-2. Thanks for playing, Nick. Do you think he played honorably?
He did, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Appreciate it.
No, thank you.
Yep. And you're giving him the tickets.
Yeah, I've already got his information.
Kevin, where can people figure out where you're going to be?
All right, go to streetentertainment.com. Again, we're hanging out a lot in Mississippi coming up over the next few days, including the Saturday at the Caesar Sportsbook and starting weekly music bingo out in Olive Branch at the Huey's on Monday next week. The full schedule, including trivia and bingo nights happening tonight, where if you're playing trivia tonight, you're guaranteed to hear at least one or more of these questions to give you an advantage over all the other teams that are competing.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it. We're going to take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins, Show 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
If you are selling your house, Josh Hysaw would be the person to call. Josh Hysaw, of course, and the team at Keller Williams Realty, 901-461-8147, 901-461-8147, or Josh has thebuyers.com. Among other things, Josh will come out and make an instant cash offer for your home at full market value. And in this tricky market, it's an easy way to go. Because when you're selling your house, it's tough when you don't know when it's going to sell or how much you're going to sell for. And this solves both of those issues. If you're selling your house and you're nervous about it, which I understand, phone number is 901-461-8147. Josh has thebuyers.com. All right, Jeffrey. So during the break, Brad came in here with the latest giveaway from the Grizzlies. And I have a principle. I'm a principal man, and I have a principle. And one of those principles is that if someone hands me something free while I'm on the air,
I'll talk about it.
I'll happily talk about it. So here's what we have, Jeffrey, for Friday. And Chris pointed this out. Now, you can go to the Tiger game. That would be great. You could also go see the first look at Cooper Flag, okay? And the first 5,000 get a classic Grizzlies hat on HBCU night. This is against the Mavs. It's an Emirates Cup game, Jeffrey.
Indeed.
What do you think of the hat?
It looks like a great rope kind of trucker hat.
Black hat with the old bear, the old bear, the brown bear, right?
Yep.
Looks quality. That seems pretty, that seems quality. So there you go. And by the way, also, you can, is this a good deal? Get a terrace level ticket and 2 12-ounce Miller Lights, which you may need, for $55.
It's not a bad deal.
I think that's pretty good.
Beers and games are expensive, yeah.
Yeah, two beers and a terrace level seat. So there you go. Sunday, okay, here's the next
one. I don't have the suggested retail value.
Sunday, we have a, we have this. The first 5,000 get a classic Grizzlies crossbody bag. A crossbody bag. I would have called this a fanny, fanny pack.
Yeah, I think probably there's been some rebranding. I think also, I don't know if this one goes directly around your waist. It might go like more on the, like, the chest.
I don't hate that either.
No, and it's the old school Grizz logo.
It, but I think people do. Maybe if I were traveling in Europe and wanted something stretched on my chest, right? And I wanted to be repping the Grizzlies. That's the first 5,000 for the OKC game on Sunday. Also, Sunday Family Fun Days, $35. You get a ticket to the game, a $10 food voucher, and post-game free throws on the court.
There you go.
If you make those free throws, you never know. They may tap you for, put you into use.
Well, they might back you up at least and say, how are you from the three-point line?
And a photo with mascot Grizz.
There you go.
How about that? That is Sunday. Again, if you give me free stuff, I will talk about it on the air. Is how critical is Friday's game? It feels critical to me. Not as critical as Friday's game for the Memphis Tiger football team, but for morale purposes, this feels like, because other than that, you're looking at Oklahoma City, like, this feels like a big one.
It would just be nice to have a stop the vibe night.
Yeah, just have a better, just have a...
Give something, for everyone that goes down there, give them something good to feel about.
We will hope for the best. We will hope for the best Friday from your Grizzlies. We do have a football game tonight, Jeffrey.
We do.
South Florida plays.
Indeed. South Florida is hosting UTSA.
Right. They're hosting UTSA, as we know, at home, killer.
Especially in conference play.
Less killer, especially in conference play. Less killer on the road. Are we rooting for who?
I think I would root for UTSA simply from the fact that, I don't know how everybody else feels, I wouldn't love the idea of seeing South Florida
that
again.
That exactly is my, I have not worked out. All I know is that if Memphis keeps winning,
yes,
they're in, they're going to host a title game, and they're going to go to the playoff if they win that, okay? But in terms of possible opponents, South Florida scares me. I'll be honest. If Memphis were playing South Florida again, even in Memphis, and I had to tell you who was going to win the game, I would tell you South Florida was going to win that game.
I think they're. I think those are the two best teams.
So I want South Florida to take a loss tonight.
Correct.
Yeah.
No, I think there's probably still enough time.
It's kind of funny. If South Florida loses, you get Golesh losing that game.
Yeah.
And then if Memphis can beat Summerall in this game, at what point do Golesh and Summerall stop being hot coaches if they keep stacking L's? And does Memphis and does Ryan become a hot coach?
Well, the question is, does Golesh and Summerall being available,
is that why they are losing?
Correct.
Is that what you're saying?
Well, or on top of
that, reasons?
Well, also, no. Like, you know that those guys, if you need them to be there on November the 30th, they can be there on November the 30th. Like, how? Like, this
doesn't
is where
this ding their resume a little bit if they keep losing?
I mean, maybe, but
or people believe, like, I'll be honest, if you believe in Alex Golesh, what happens tonight shouldn't make a difference to you.
Right. So, like, if you've just decided John Summerall is your guy, or you've decided Alex Golesh is your guy, you don't really care. Like, honestly, you'll spend...
This makes them more available.
Correct. Now, the other question then weirdly becomes is, like, does Memphis's playoff candidacy, does that impact Ryan Silverfield on the coaching search? Now, they're going to obviously play in December. They're not going to, you know, they're not going to get up one of the byes.
And they would likely lose that game.
Correct. There'd be a heavy underdog in those games. So, but does that impact? Because there are a lot of these jobs, the ADs have stated, like, they want somebody when the season ends.
Ed Scott, who was on with Jason yesterday.
Yep.
And I thought they handled this the way you should. He just said, listen, if there comes a time when Ryan gets an offer that we, you know, can't match because it's what a program that has much deeper pockets than ours, I'm going to hug him and wish him well.
He had the exact right approach to that one.
Yeah.
And then we'll just go get the next one.
And then we'll just go get the next one. I mean, honestly, it is weird. Neither coach has been successful. Fuente hasn't been. Fuente wasn't at Virginia Tech. And Norvell
although
hasn't.
History might be a little kinder to Justin.
And that's true. And Norvell hasn't been at Florida State. And so, but if you're looking to get the next job, going to Memphis, and if let's say Ryan goes to Missouri,
sure.
You look at a place where you can elevate your profile. It's hard to imagine a place that is better than Memphis now. Three straight going to Power Five. The Power Four school.
Well, and you know that you're going to have NIL support.
You're going to have more money than anybody else. Yeah. Yeah. Now, there's going to be the only question then is if you lose Ryan, given how many coaches are being hired other places, how many other jobs there are to fill, is this a particularly bad year, not just to be Auburn, for example,
just to be in the market,
but to be Memphis, or is Memphis fishing from a different pool so that it doesn't really matter? They're going to be finding some hot coordinator, probably.
I suppose you could make the argument if a lot of these other big jobs start striking out, they start dipping into your pool. But I still think for the most part, you're probably fishing from different waters.
If you're thinking about getting engaged, Robert Irwin Jewelers is the place to go for diamond engagement ring. And I do mean that. First of all, Howie and they're just great over there. I go to the one right across from Novel on Perkins Extended. Find the one closest to you. But so Jeffrey went there when he was getting engaged, had a great experience buying his diamond ring. Still talks. Aaliyah still like, he'll catch Aaliyah just gazing at it.
She loves it.
Still, she loves it. But then in addition to all that, you got the meant to be guarantee, which means you have 365 days to return your engagement ring. If you need to for any reason, which just you won't, but it gives you peace of mind in making this massive emotional. And let's be honest, it's even with the great savings you'll have at Robert Irwin Jewelers and the great financing, it's a significant investment. And so it's nice to know you have 365 days to return it. It's Robert Irwin Jewelers, 60 months to pay at a low APR or 24 months deferred interest. You can check out more about them at RIJewelers.com. What's coming up next, Jeffrey?
Jeffers, what's coming next on Jason and John? Drew Hill, Bennett Doyle will join Jason today. Eric Hasseltine, Jason Smith will join us on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Cobb will be with me as well. Jeff will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to be, we got to get out of here. We will be back tomorrow for an hour. Work is done.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.